This is Akashvani. In the program Spotlight, we now bring you a discussion on India, an emerging major maritime power. The participants are Commodore C. Uday Bhaskar, defense analyst, and Sarabjit Kaur, anchor.
In today's Spotlight, we bring you deliberation on the commissioning of three indigenous naval vessels, INS Surat, INS Nilgiri, and INS Vagshir. Today we have with us Commodore Uday Bhaskar to discuss and deliberate on the commissioning of the three naval vessels. I welcome you, Commodore Uday Bhaskar, to today's Spotlight.
Thank you.
Speaking to Akashvani News, Captain Sandeep Shore, commanding officer of INS Surat, explained the specialities of the ship.
This ship is a destroyer, which is a vessel which has long sea legs, which has the sea-keeping ability to stay at sea for long duration. It can operate to helicopters and it can operate all kind of missions possible. In conflict, it has enough weapons and sensors to do the conflict management or attrition game. Then anti-piracy missions, anti-narcotics missions, or even disaster relief.
INS Surat, INS Nilgiri, and INS Vagshir being commissioned together. Commodore Bhaskar, what does this augur for the Indian economy?
First of all, I would like to echo what you have just said, which is that this is the first time in Indian naval history that we have three major platforms being commissioned and inducted into the Indian Navy on the same day.
Yes.
And Prime Minister Modi, I think, had emphasized this point in his remarks in Mumbai, that it's a very special day as far as the Navy is concerned. And by extension, I would say for the country also, because this is a very important punctuation in India's Atmanirbharta effort, the indigenization effort. So that is, in a way, feather too. Today's accomplishment, January 15, is also Army Day. I think that's very auspicious.
Yes.
That the Navy inducting three major platforms on a day that is celebrated also as Army Day, which points to India's effort at trying to enhance jointness. So while this is symbolic, I would say the symbolism both for indigenization, Atmanirbharta, and jointness is something special and should be noted.
Absolutely. Commodore Bhaskar, Prime Minister Narendra Modi, during his address at the commissioning ceremony, made a very significant statement that India is working for development and not for expansionism. Can you please throw more light on this aspect?
You know, this is actually very instructive, because if you look at how Prime Minister Modi has framed the maritime domain and the way in which he has prioritized it from the Prime Minister's perspective, as an analyst, as a sailor who has been looking at India's own naval trajectory for the last 50 years almost, I would say that this is very distinctive, what Prime Minister Modi has done, which is that in 2015, you may recall, he coined the acronym SAGAR. And this was Modi 1.0, meaning it was his first term. He had assumed office in 2014. And in 2015, while doing a three-island tour, a visit, he coined the word or the acronym SAGAR, which stands for Security and Growth for All in the Region, meaning that India would play such a role whereby it would be able to look after not only its own security and growth, but also for others in the region. 10 years down the road, in Modi 3.0, in his third term, you can see that the Prime Minister is in a way recalling that and emphasizing the point that India's naval capability and India's overall maritime capability, which I must add is modest, you know, when you compare it with the major powers such as the United States or China, which are in the big league, we are very credible. India's Navy, but it is still relatively modest. But what I think Mr. Modi is emphasizing is that the objective would be not towards any kind of expansionism. And there, I think the subtext is China, meaning that if you look at India and China, two countries, Asian nations that are now investing in their Navy. So my reading is that when Prime Minister Modi is emphasizing that India will be focused on development and not on expansion, it is to recall the commitment made as far as SAGAR is concerned. And I think history has borne out that the Indian Navy has always been the first responder for any kind of humanitarian assistance disaster over the last 30, 40 years. And two examples come immediately to mind. You may recall that in December 2004, when the tsunami struck many parts of Southeast Asia, Andaman, Nicobar, and Indonesia and other countries, the Indian Navy was the first that was able to respond.
That's right.
Then the other nations also came in. And similarly, in November 1988, when Maldives had a mercenary coup, it was the Indian Navy. The first two ships, they were INS Godavari and INS Bias. So this is what I think the Prime Minister was pointing towards, that India has always historically been a country that has reached out to help those who needed it. It happened more recently in the piracy issue, if you remember,
yes,
over last year. But I think that is the emphasis that the Prime Minister is making, that yes, we will expand, we will add to our naval capability, but the objectives are not for any kind of expansion, thereby allaying any fears that regional countries may have, and that we would see this as a collective kind of effort along with the other nations, which is the essence of Sagar, security and growth for all in the region.
So talking about an inclusive world, Commodore Bhaskar, and, you know, treading on the same thought process, India's role in the global defense sector has increased manifold, with India now exporting military equipment to over 100 countries. In fact, India is being recognized as a reliable and responsible partner, particularly in the global south. What could be, in your view, the reason for this?
See, I'd like to again contextualize this, which is that, yes, India's military capability is credible. It is regarded in a very positive manner, primarily because India has never exhibited any kind of expansionist objectives. Whatever India has done, the Indian military has done, has been in the defense of India's security and sovereignty. Where it has been deployed outside of India, it's largely been under the UN umbrella. And on occasion, as in the case of Sri Lanka, it was part of a peacekeeping effort. And similarly, some of the smaller countries have availed of India's military help. So that's the first box to be ticked, that India has always been only concerned about defense of its own territorial integrity and sovereignty. As regards exports, currently India is not yet in the big league in terms of exporting major platforms, whether it is tanks or aircraft or artillery guns or ships, submarines and such like. Where India has made a mark for itself is in some of the ancillary. For instance, in communication, India has got a good track record. Similarly, in items like clothing, India is seen as a major supplier.
Mm-hmm.
And these are areas where India can build. But the one breakthrough has been in the BrahMos missile, which has been a very big success story for India. But at the moment, there's only one country that India has exported this to, which is Philippines. Slowly, there are a number of other major platforms which are in the last stages, their work in progress kind of items, big items. When they are realized, I think India's overall export profile and credibility will be enhanced. So at the moment, I think the direction is right. There is a lot of earnestness, and hopefully the breakthrough will come over the next few years.
Absolutely. Commodore Bhaskar, statistics show in the year 2024, India spent an all-time high of some $15 billion on domestic defense manufacturing, an increase of almost 17% on the previous year. In your opinion, what could be the leading cause for this enhanced allocation of funds towards the defense sector?
Well, there's no doubt that Prime Minister Modi, you know, in his first two terms, had emphasized Atmanirbharta or indigenization. He's cracked the whip, and I think they have laid down certain policy guidelines which have in a way encouraged the Indian military to look at domestic suppliers. Concurrently, the public sector defense units, the PSUs and the private sector, have also been given a fair amount of incentive and guidance to participate in this effort. And this is borne out in the statistics that you have just highlighted, that the amount of investment or money that is now going into the domestic sector, whether it is public sector or private, is there in the figures. But again, let me contextualize this. Recently, you know, I did a survey of the last 10 years of India's defense expenditure. And for almost a decade, and we are talking about 2012 to 2022, the foreign import component of capital expenditure, is called CapEx,
yes,
was above 35% for all 10 years. And in 1 year, it even hit 49%. You know, that is because in 1 year, there was a surge in terms of major platform. So the payments go up. So I think India has to be conscious that even now, we are dependent on the foreign supplier for certain critical equipment. I mean, today's example, the Nilgiri, the Surat and the Vakshi.
Yes.
The major ordnance still comes from foreign suppliers. meaning that if you were to look at shipbuilding as an activity, particularly warship building, you know, it can be brought down to three major challenges. The first, you have to make the vessel float. The second, you have to make the vessel move, you know, which means you have to design the propulsion and make the vessel move. And finally, the vessel has to fight. India has acquired, I think, very commendable levels of self-sufficiency and Atmanirbharta in the first two boxes. Make it float and make it move. Where we are still dependent is in making the platform fight, whether it is torpedoes for the submarines, whether it is anti-aircraft guns or missiles, so on and so forth, we are importing, except for the BrahMos, which, as I said, is a cause for considerable satisfaction, which, again, as you know, we had manufactured and designed and made this with Russian cooperation and help. So these are areas which I think slowly India is getting there.
Yes.
But it will take time. It will need investment. And that really is one last thought I want to leave with you, that despite the success that we are now applauding, India's naval budget, this has to go up. And that's going to be a challenge when we talk about jointness and how India will enhance its trans-border military capability, particularly in the maritime domain, which incidentally links you up with space and cyber. You know, that is the new challenge. The new global common is going to be the continuum of maritime, space, and cyber. And India needs to look at this in a very focused way, which means, you know, money, which means technology, which means human resource. And frankly, Mr. Modi, as Prime Minister, is more than aware of this. It's a challenge as to how he will find the resources.
That's right. I understand that you have a rather very long inning with the Navy. And out of the three vessels commissioned today, INS Surat and INS Nilgiri are warships. You know, you being a veteran, for the benefit of our listeners, if you could very briefly explain what exactly is a warship and what role it has to play in the country's naval might.
Basically, a warship is that aspect of India's military capability that looks after the maritime domain in terms of ensuring that national sovereignty and security are not in any way adversely affected. You know, Mumbai 2008 is a good example of how there is a maritime vulnerability for India. So what a warship does is it enhances your naval capability, your military capability at sea. It ensures that there is no threat to India's sea lines of communication. India is dependent on imports and exports. And what any Navy does for any country is to ensure that there is no threat from the maritime domain. And if there is any adverse occurrence, any adverse development, the Navy can provide the necessary assistance, which happens very often when we talk about humanitarian assistance and disaster relief.
Right.
And more recently, of course, we have seen, you know, cases of piracy going up. Again, between the Indian Navy and the Indian Coast Guard, we ensure that these are dealt with in an appropriate manner and that India's economic interests or security interests are not adversely affected by anything related to the seas and oceans. That, in a nutshell, is what the Navy does.
Right. Commodore Bhaskar, INS Vakshir is a submarine. How is it different from a warship? And when it comes to the security of the country, what role does a submarine have to play?
Well, briefly, a warship, a surface ship, is something that operates on the water. So you have a frigate, you have a destroyer like Surat and Nilgiri, or you have an aircraft carrier. India has had Vikrant, Vikramaditya, which are well-known aircraft carriers. They all operate on the surface of the water. Vakshir is a submarine. It's an underwater platform. So what that does is, a submarine ensures a certain degree of sea denial, meaning that if you have an adversary, or you want to ensure that an adversary does not come into certain areas which are of interest to you, critical area, say Bombay High, the submarine ensures sea denial. The surface ship and the aircraft carrier can give you a certain degree of sea control on the surface. So there are different roles for surface ships, different roles for submarines. And the submarine is also associated with a lot of stealth operations, intelligence operations. So these are capabilities. And as we go ahead, the underwater domain is going to become a very important arena. Now, for instance, underwater cables, which carry all your cyber traffic, or for that matter, resources which are underwater, whether they are hydrocarbon or otherwise, the so-called blue economy. All of that will also be looking at the underwater. So I think India has to proceed in terms of acquiring capability across the board, underwater, on the surface, and as I said, in cyber and space, which is the new connectivity that we need to look at.
Thank you, Commodore Uday Bhaskar, for joining in and giving your valuable inputs in our program Spotlight.
Thank you.
You were listening to a discussion on India, an emerging major maritime power. The participants were Commodore C. Uday Bhaskar, defense analyst, and Sarabjit Kaur, anchor.